Radio Prague News.
The Czech Senate is set to vote on Wednesday on the controversial church property restitution bill. The Czech Health Ministry is planning to ban smoking in all restaurants, pubs and bars. And the children's wing at Prague Motol Hospital has been found to be structurally unstable. The Czech Senate is on Wednesday set to vote on the controversial church property restitution bill. The upper house, controlled by the opposition Social Democrats and Communists, is likely to reject the bill. The draft legislation prepared by the government would give the Czech Catholic Church and other religious groups some 135 billion crowns worth of property, most of it as financial compensation. Prime Minister Petr Nečas on Wednesday expressed confidence that coalition MPs will overturn a possible Senate veto of the bill when it returns to the lower house. The Czech Health Ministry on Wednesday revealed plans to introduce a broad smoking ban in all restaurants, pubs, bars and other establishments. The bill, which is now being reviewed by other branches of the government, would also ban smoking in the establishment's outside seating areas and introduce fines of up to 1 million crowns for failure to comply with the measure. The current Czech legislation allows smoking in separate sections of restaurants, which would not be possible under the proposed bill. Polls show that nearly 80% of Czechs support the broad smoking ban, which could come into effect in August 2013. A children's wing at Prague's Motol Hospital has been found to be structurally unstable. The wing, which is undergoing renovation and accommodates no patients at the moment, has moved by 8 to 10 centimetres, a spokesman for the hospital said. The hospital halted all renovation work and the building is being reviewed by experts. The facility, which is one of Europe's largest children's hospitals, was opened last June after a major reconstruction, which cost 4.4 billion crowns. The Czech Republic will next year open new diplomatic missions in Qatar, Senegal, Burma, Sri Lanka and Colombia, the news agency Chedeka reported on Wednesday, quoting a policy document by the Foreign Ministry. The ministry is also planning to close its offices in Luxembourg and at the UNESCO headquarters in Paris. Instead, staff will be reinforced at Czech embassies in Iraq, Afghanistan and Libya, Deputy Foreign Minister Jiří Schneider said. Prague's Transport Authority on Wednesday filed a series of lawsuits against its former managers over several allegedly overpriced contracts, the director of the company Vladimír Lich said. Based on the results of a recent audit, the Transport Authority also filed a lawsuit against managers of companies hired to provide paper and SMS tickets and legal marketing and other services to the Prague Transport Authority. Without disclosing any names, Mr. Lich said the lawsuits were filed against 8 people. Some 34% of Czechs never attended a concert of classical music, although up to 70% of them consider such events to be part of a broader cultural background. According to a new poll by the Stemmark Agency for the Czech Philharmonic Orchestra released on Wednesday. However, most people said they didn't have time to attend concerts of classical music. The survey also suggests that around 17% of Czechs play a musical instrument. And in sports, the Czech national football team plays Ukraine in Lviv on Wednesday in a friendly match ahead of World Cup qualifying. Czech manager Michal Bílek has chosen midfielders Vladimír Dareda and Daniel Kolář, both of Viktoria Plzeň, to replace the injured playmakers Tomáš Rosický and Jaroslav Plašil. Striker David Lafata of Jablonec will be the Czech team's sole forward. Coach Bílek said the game was an ideal testing ground ahead of the World Cup qualification in which the Czechs will play Denmark in September. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The coming days will be mostly clear with daytime highs ranging between 23 and 27 degrees Celsius. My name is Andrej Richter and it's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Maggie Lund. Coming up in our programme today, Prague City Hall has announced plans for major changes to the city's public transport system as of September. Then, a report from the opening of a new integration centre for foreigners in Prague. And later, we visit some of the growing number of pharma shops in and around the capital. All that and more coming your way, so please stay tuned. Prague Prague municipal authorities have approved a series of major changes to the city's transport system. The alterations will mean that, as of September the 3rd, numerous tram and bus lines will be cut, while other, longer routes will be added. The city says the changes are needed to save money, but critics argue that they will cause chaos. Dominic Yuen reports.
The Prague Transit Authority, known locally simply as MHRD, is responsible for running the city's trams, buses and metro lines. The most recent changes approved by City Hall are designed to save almost half a billion crowns from the transport budget annually. The revisions will mean the abolition of some bus and tram lines, compensated for by fewer intervals in those that remain, including the expansion of so-called metro buses, which will also run at shorter intervals, have more centrally oriented routes, and utilise special lanes to avoid becoming stuck in traffic. Prague's mayor, Bohuslav Svoboda, argues the measures will modernise the network, addressing changes to the way Prague citizens now travel. But the proposals have met with strong criticism. For one, they have come under fire from the Czech Technical University, or ČVUT, who were hired to analyse the plans. Representatives from both sides held a final meeting on Tuesday, with ČVUT transport experts voicing concerns, but the city ultimately decided to press on with the September start date irrespective. Meanwhile, according to a ČVUT report obtained by Czech television, the promised savings will be far fewer, while car traffic will likely increase as a result of the changes. Vratislav Filler is a transportation expert at the NGO Automat, which advocates sustainable development in Prague and which has also expressed criticism of the proposed changes, centering in part on placing so much emphasis on the new metro buses.
We do not agree with the anticipated result. We are afraid that this will mainly make public transport less attractive because of some disadvantages of this metro line system. In Prague, the character of the city is not very good for this metro line system.
Mr. Filler went on to explain that the city's existing network of trams and buses does very well to serve the city's many populated nooks and crannies. Seeking to centralise this system within a so-called backbone network, both via the metro bus and anchoring it to a metro-centric system, he argues, will just not work. Automat has also been highly critical of the speed at which the changes are taking place.
Well, city promises a big information campaign. I am not sure if everybody will be informed enough well, because now people are on vacations and not everybody is in Prague. So who returns in the beginning of September, he will see that everything changed.
Josef Nosek, Prague deputy mayor in charge of transportation affairs, denied there was anything rushed about the proposals.
These are not surprising changes. They have been in preparation for a number of years. According to our experiences, the last 2 weeks before changes come into effect are the crucial ones. All required information will be presented not only at bus and tram stops and metro station of the MHD, but they will also be publicized online on Facebook. We will also be mounting a publicity campaign with ads and newspapers. I will dare to say that you won't find more than one single person who won't know that there have been changes to the system or what those changes are.
Automat's harshest words, however, have been targeted at the reasons behind the changes, namely budget saving. This, they have argued, amounts to the public paying the price for the mismanagement of the Prague Transit Authority. However, the city has promised to take good note of travellers' concerns during the first 2 or 3 weeks of the new system's functioning and adjust the new travel plan accordingly.
Dominic Yuen concluding that report. Have you lived in Prague or visited the city? Let us know what you think about the transport system. Write to english@radio.cz. Now, staying in the capital, last week saw the official opening of an integration centre for foreigners in Prague. Currently, almost 12% of Prague's population are foreigners, and City Hall has been mulling over plans to open such a centre for a few years. With the financial crisis looming, Czech ministries are introducing increasingly stricter policies towards foreign workers and other migrants. The integration centre is meant to alleviate some of the hurdles that foreigners living here face.
The new centre will offer free legal and social counselling, Czech language and social adaptation courses for foreigners from countries outside of the European Union living in Prague. Clients will also be able to use its computers, a foreign language library, and rooms for free time activities. Eventually, the Integration Center wants to also host cultural events for foreigners and Czechs. I asked the center's director, Steněk Horvat, about the main reasons Prague City Hall decided to open a center like this one.
The estimation is about 200,000 of foreigners living in Prague, and more than half of them are people who are not coming from the EU. So this is kind of a big community, and there is no systematic approach in the way of working with them. So the integration center is meant to find this way, not actually making the policy, but its articulations of the main priorities.
This is the 11th such center to open in the Czech Republic, but unlike other regional integration centers, the one in Prague chose to directly cooperate with already existing NGOs. Nonprofit organizations with proven experience in the field of integration of foreigners will be offering services in the center's four neighborhood offices. Magda Faltová, the director of the Association for Integration and Migration, which will be providing legal and social services at the Prague 13 location, underscored the importance of these joint efforts.
I think that all of the NGOs involved in Prague feel that we should cooperate more, that we should as well more share the knowledge that we have with the integration, and hopefully this center will help us to do it. However, I think it's very important to point that the center should always cooperate with NGOs. We have the experience, our organization have been active in integration of migrants for 20 years, and we have the contact with the migrants.
NGOs participating in the project welcome the fact that the center will give them direct access to City Hall officials and potentially greater influence in molding Prague's integration policies. According to Eva Dohnalová from the organization In Báze Berkat, which will staff the Prague 13 office of the integration center, this venture may also help foreigners better understand how they can find assistance in the city.
It might give some structure in the services for migrants in Prague, because now there are a few established NGOs which do provide good services for migrants, but still it's not really clear for the migrants who is who and what is the difference between the NGOs. So I do expect that this integration center will be a kind of junction where migrants can get the complete picture of all the services for migrants in Prague. It might be even a kind of competition for the NGOs, because they are funded by the municipalities, so they have easier access to fundings. But we will see.
Eva Dohnalová talking to Masha Valinsky. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next, we hear more from Masha as she investigates the growing market for direct farmer shops, both in rural areas and increasingly in the capital itself, where they are regarded as an alternative to the impersonal shopping experience in the city's supermarkets.
The hype of Western supermarkets of the 1990s started fading for Czech city dwellers sometime in the early noughties. As healthy eating became more of a priority for some Czechs, small organic food shops began cropping up in most cities. Organic was all the rage. Yet many of the products sold in these organic food shops were not locally grown, leaving a gap in the market for small and medium Czech farmers to fill.
In 2009,
I came up with the project Find Your Farmer, and the whole discussion about farmers' markets started, so we could build on that. It was also good that it was before the elections, and some political parties used this as a PR opportunity as well. It was good for us. Without that, it wouldn't have been as big, and it wouldn't have started so quickly.
Says František Němec, owner of the medium-sized milk farm in the Vysočina region, who now has three shops in Prague. The rebirth of an almost extinct tradition of outdoor farmers' markets sparked a lot of interest, not only among local farmers, but also from potential future customers. Daniel Mourek from the Partnerství Foundation was also active in the early stages of developing farmers' markets in Prague.
In January 2010 at the Vinohradská tržnice, we presented the idea of farmers markets, because we have been developing this idea with Project for Public Spaces New York. And from that point, 2010 was the first markets open, Now Prague has, you know, over 30 markets.
As Prague squares began to bloom with weekend markets attracting thousands of customers hungry for local produce and a communal outdoor atmosphere, another trend started gaining strength in the Czech capital. Instead of relying on the neighborhood markets twice or three times a week for fresh local products, customers could now buy farmers' produce from a regular store. Although, compared to the usual shopping experience in the Czech capital, there is nothing regular about them. These shops sell only products that come from smaller Czech farms, vineyards, beekeepers, and other producers that put great emphasis on the natural chemical-free ingredients of their products.
We are different from supermarkets because we give customers quality service, not only in the products we sell, but the fact that we take the time and effort to talk to them. We show them our products, we read them the label, we give them a piece to taste. Sometimes we need to persuade people to sample something, because many of them still think that if they have a taste, then they have to buy it. But it's not true, so we're teaching them.
Says Alena Slováková, who has been managing the Ješkův Statek shop in Vinohrady since this March. Ješkův Statek is one of the relative newcomers onto the market. There are currently more than 10 such shops in different parts of Prague and in a number of other Czech cities, and more are coming. Most of the farmer shops have the feel of an old-fashioned corner store, where you are greeted with a smile, offered help and advice, and are remembered from one visit to the next. They also have longer opening hours, which is a nice change from many specialty stores and even some supermarkets around Prague. A customer in one of the shops I visited told me why she comes here.
For me, it's really important to support the local products and local producers. And to me, it means that I get something that really comes from the country. And many people do have a problem with the prices and stuff because it's a bit higher. But I really don't care about it because I go there maybe once a week. But then I really enjoy the meal I buy. The markets could be people who are not the real producers. For me, it's even better to go to the shop where I really know the farmer, where I know the producer. I'm really happy it came to Czech Republic.
František Nemec, who we heard from earlier, opened one of the first farmer shops in Prague back in 2010, driven both by his success at the farmers' markets and the need to develop his milk farm.
Hlavně k tomu vedly náklady na distribuci, protože jsem si myslel, že
the main reason was the cost of distribution. I originally thought that the 1,000 litres of milk a day that I am able to produce, I can sell in the Vysočina area and make just family-sized packages of yogurt. I would have low manpower and distribution costs, and it would be for a good price. But customers preferred to have flavoured yogurts, have more expensive glass packaging and so on. As a result, my overhead and transportation costs grew, so since I had such a wide range of products, I started taking them to Brno and Prague.
But not all of the farmer shops went from market to store. Alena Slováková and David Vortel decided to open Ješkův Statek to bring homegrown food to Prague after getting encouragements from friends. But Alena said the original plan had not been to sell goods from Vortel's own small farm near Jindřichův Hradec.
In the beginning, it was meant to be just a store. We spent about half a year going around Vysočina and Morava. We would find a producer or visit a market, then we would go to visit them and see how they did things. It was really about selecting products that not only looked good, but tasted as they should and contained what they were supposed to. We basically combined forces, ours and the producers who can't move around. These are small farmers, producers, growers who have no other option than to sell directly from where they are. It's not worth it for them to load a truck and go to Prague. So we decided that if we helped them like this, we would get their products to Prague and we would be the only ones to have them on offer. It would be a mutually beneficial venture.
But having entered into an already booming market of farmer shops, the Ješkův Statek team soon realized they have to distinguish themselves not just from the supermarkets and organic shops, but also from stores similar to theirs.
Once we opened the shop, we realized that it's just not enough. We're still the same as the other shops, so we thought that we could start producing our own products. We decided we would use only fresh fruit and vegetables that we would grow or buy from the nearby farmers we know. So we started making jams, apple sauces, plus the things that you don't have here, like krokantki, which is just sugar with nuts, and their own muesli. It became popular so quickly that we're not making it fast enough.
Now in the summer months, and because Ješku Statek is open only briefly, Alena and her partner decided to actually go in the opposite direction to shops like that of Mr. Nemec, and are selling their products at farmers' markets almost every day of the week in order to advertise their shop. The franchise Český Grunt, which was started by two businessmen, now has 14 stores around the country, with 6 locations in Prague. Jiří Malík, one of the founders, is convinced that their success is due in most part to being in the right place at the right time.
It is of course a combination of good business sense and some know-how, but the main thing is that we found a product that just wasn't on the market before. When we started out in 2010, people were just beginning to look for quality produce, not just low prices. So we really went for something that wasn't here before.
Nevertheless, Mr. Nemec is somewhat skeptical about whether locally grown goods will attract customers en masse to farmer shops.
I understand that it's necessary to attract a large spectrum of customers, and we're just not able to do that. The farmer shops have their place, and some people will always go there, but most people here look at the price and not at the quality.
Yet many are still optimistic about the future growth of this sector. I asked Vojtěch Kotecký, the program director at the environmental organization Hnutí Duha, what he thinks will increase the customer base for farmer shops.
Consumer attitudes in this country are already changing, and we can witness that more and more people shop in a farmer's shop simply because they want quality rather than cheap food. They are scared by many scandals that happened with supermarket food over the last several years, and they want good, healthy, quality food rather than what's increasingly sold in supermarkets. And another factor that will probably play against supermarkets is the end of cheap oil. The success of supermarkets has been based on cheap oil because it made sense economically to import food from the other side of Europe to the Czech Republic and sell it for low price. With the end of cheap oil, economics of import and export of food will change. It will make more sense for shoppers in terms of price to buy local food rather than that imported from the other side of Europe.
I went to check if currently the goods in these shops are markedly more expensive than elsewhere, and it turned out it is not always true even today. Onions from Italy that I found at a supermarket cost 34 crowns a kilo, while at a nearby farmer's shop, Czech onions were 27. So it does seem that there is very good potential for the growth of farmer goods shops not only in Prague, but in other cities around the Czech Republic. Daniel Morek is already thinking of how to build on this momentum.
Maybe one step ahead is to have some kind of a food court, because Prague is from the 30s. There have been these market halls, like the one in Smíchov in 1935, the Vinohrady market hall around the same time. Wonderful buildings that are serving now as a places for supermarkets or as libraries. I think it's time to give back the meaning of this building and start not only farmers markets, but mix it with quality restaurants, small food courts, and I think it would be highly successful.
Danielle Morek there talking to Masha Wilinski. We're now rounding off our regular weekday programme with a rerun of another part of Pavla Horáková's popular Czech language course, The ABCs of Czech.
Hello and welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's Czech language course, in which we look at the different uses of numbers in the Czech language. This is the last lesson in this course, and today's topic is numbers in sport. For that, I'm joined by
Daniela Lazarová.
Naturally, numbers are very important in sport, and different sports use different counting of results and scores. It's important who comes first,
první,
second,
druhý,
and third,
třetí.
I'm afraid Czech seems to be less imaginative in expressing the meaning of zero. The word
nula
stands for all the English synonyms, including nil and love, as we are talking about numbers in sports today. The word
čtvrtka,
meaning one quarter, is a colloquial expression for a 400-meter sprint race. Likewise,
půlka,
a half, is a slang term for 800 meters. Another word,
patnáctka,
number 15, means 1500 meters. Half-time in football is
poločas.
Periods in ice hockey are called
třetiny,
thirds. In colloquial language, number 10, or
desítka,
is a penalty kick in football.
Jedenáctka,
number 11, is a colloquial term for a football team with its 11 players.
Osma,
or
osmiveslice,
is an eight, that is, an eight oar. Pentathlon in Czech is
pětiboj,
literally the five fight. Decathlon is then
desetiboj.
Another compound word is
trojskok,
a triple jump. The word
šestidenní
can stand on its own or be part of the expression
motocyklová šestidenní,
meaning a six-day motorcycle racing event. And that is all for today's lesson, which closes our series dedicated to numbers and numerals in the Czech language. We hope you've enjoyed it and learned some useful expressions, or at least had the chance to see how similar or different Czech idioms are compared to English. For now, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Nashledanou.
That edition of the ABCs of Czech was the final part of Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programmes are available online at radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradska 12, postal code 12099, Prague 2. But for now, from me, Maggie Lund, and all of the rest of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for joining us and goodbye.